Bible reading this morning comes from Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, starting at the beginning. If you'd like to follow along, that's on page 1004. Mark 4, starting at the beginning. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. The birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so they didn't bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times." Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 60, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it'll be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. I'm Luke. I'm a regular here at the 10:30 congregation. I'm also a Bible College student down at SMBC at the Bible College down the road. Why don't I pray just before we begin? Father God, we give you thanks for your word. Thank you that we can read it and get to know you. Lord, I pray that as I speak this morning, that you'll speak through my words. Please teach us more of yourselves, and fill our hearts with a vision of you. Amen. Roots are easy to take for granted. You can't see them, and if they do their job properly, you'd never know they were there. If you cut a Christmas tree off the ground and plant it in a pot in your living room, it doesn't look any different than it looked before. But a plant without roots is doomed. It won't take very long, and that Christmas tree will wither and die without its roots. Well, this morning's reading compares people to plants, and so maybe we need to ask, where are our roots? What is it that stops us from withering and dying? Do you ever think about that? What drives you? What do you look What do you look to sustain yourself? What is it that keeps you grounded? Well, the parable of the sower has plenty to do with roots. It's one of Jesus' most famous parables, probably his most famous parable. And it's about plants which flourish or not, as a picture of our lives which can flourish or not. And the final result at the end is an abundant harvest of grain, a life that's full and fruitful. But as we'll discover, it's not at the harvest, but the roots where you need to look. What sort of harvest you get depends on where your roots are. Well, let's look at the story itself. It's a farming metaphor. A sower sowing seed, and Jesus uses it to illustrate different responses, responses to his message, responses to Jesus himself. And in the story, he gives four examples, four different responses, in the form of four different soils, each response longer and more complex than the one before it. He starts out with the hard beaten ground of a path. The seed that falls here just bounces off. The birds eat it, the wind blows it away, and it's gone. This is the zero response to Jesus' message. Nothing happens here, nothing grows, there's no connection with Jesus. Now, the fact that we're all sitting here in church on Sunday morning means this probably doesn't describe most of us. Chances are you've got at least some interest in Jesus, if you've stayed to listen to the sermon. Maybe not. We'll see. But maybe you're not a follower of Jesus here today. Or maybe you've heard about him, but you don't know quite what to do with him yet. If that's you, don't be the path. That's the call of this. That's the first call of this story. Don't be the path. Don't just let Jesus bounce off you. See, it's not just about Jesus either and making lots of fruit for him or something. If you get to the end of the story, it's about a life of flourishing. That's part of what Jesus is offering. If he's intriguing to you in any way, don't just walk out of here and leave it behind. Pick him up. Plant him in your life. See what happens. The second soil he gets to is the rocky soil. The soil here, but it's shallow and full of rocks. Notice here, everything happens quickly. The seed is received quickly. It sprouts quickly. But because of the rocks, it doesn't grow deep roots. And so when the sun shines down on it, it's quickly scorched. The rocky soil is the excited, novel response to Jesus. Jesus says, these are ones who receive him with joy. But as soon as trouble comes along, as soon as things get tough, they fall away. This is easy to understand. It was true of thousands in Jesus' own day. See, when he arrived on the scene, he was something fresh and new. There was real power in what he said, in what he did, not to mention the fact that he also put on giant miraculous feasts on more than one occasion. Free food is always going to be an attraction, I guess. But for lots of these people, he was a novelty. He was like a curiosity, right? A spectacle, like a circus. And so as time went on and things got tough, most of the crowds left him behind. And it's just as true today, or at least it can be for us. Some of them seem obvious. It's the student who becomes a Christian at an exciting concert, but come Monday, it just doesn't seem to fit into her life. Or the guy who's attracted to Jesus, but he only stays around for what he can get out of it. But maybe there are other types of rocky soil as well. Maybe it's the Christian kid who grew up in Christian school and doesn't have deep roots because they never needed them. When they go away to uni or something else in life, things can get really tough. And then we get the third soil. There's good soil here, but it's full of thorns and weeds. And this is something altogether different. See, here the seed sprouts. It puts down roots. It grows. But the thorns and the weeds are all around it. They use up its resources. They sap its strength. They choke it out. See, this plant doesn't die necessarily. It just gets choked and it never makes any grain. And this is a very different type of person as well. See, there's wholehearted acceptance of Jesus here. a real commitment. But as time goes on, other things loom large. The worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things. That's what Jesus describes it as. These things become more and more important, and they slowly push Jesus further and further out to the margin. It's much less dramatic than the rocky soil. These people don't die off. They don't fall away. They just get distracted. They still follow Jesus, but somehow everything else has become more of a priority. I don't know about you, but if you're like me, this is the part of the parable where you start to squirm a bit. I know sometimes my life can look uncomfortably like that description. The worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things. That's a pretty big category. There's all sorts of things in there, important things. Things that can end up filling our eyes, consuming our minds. It's trying to find a job, trying to keep a job, trying to pay a mortgage. Maybe it's worrying about how to educate your kids. Maybe it's wishing that you had kids. Maybe it's chasing career success or the respect of others. Could be depression or loneliness. It's ambition. It's greed. It's the endless, endless, endless list of things that our society tells us will finally make us happy. These are the things that make up the fabric of our lives. As we live with them day by day by day, and it's very easy for them to become the most important thing for us. At least for me, it's about this point I realize the importance of this parable and its truth. See, fruitfulness is the goal, but it's not so easy as it looked at the start of the story. And so we get to the final soil, the good soil. Here there are deep roots in good earth, and it shows. The plant grows up, and it produces an abundant crop. Jesus says, these are the ones who hear the word, receive it, and bear fruit, 30, 60, and 100 times as much. This is a picture of a life overflowing to the glory of God, a life of purpose and flourishing. It's immediately attractive. The whole story draws you forward to this point. But if you read it again, how are the fruitful plants different? Why do they grow so well? The same sun which scorched the other plants is shining here as well. The difference here is in the roots. Remember that? The roots are important. These plants have deep roots that go down into good soil. There are no rocks to stunt them. There are no weed roots to get tangled in. Who are these fruitful, flourishing people? Who's Jesus talking about? These are the ones who are deeply rooted in Jesus, who've found in him something of real value, something worth more than the world. That's why they don't wither. That's why they don't get choked. That's why they stick with him. See, the sun of persecution, the thorns of worry, you can't resist them unless you have something even more important, something even more valuable to hold on to. Where are your roots? Before we came to St. James, my wife and I lived in Kathmandu in Nepal. And we were there in 2015 when the big magnitude 8 earthquake hit central Nepal. Maybe you remember it. It killed 8,000 people and destroyed livelihoods of hundreds of thousands more. Well, when we arrived in 2013, 2 years beforehand, we had to do earthquake training. And for us, honestly, it was kind of fun. It was a bit of a novelty coming from Australia. We didn't know anything about earthquakes. They told us we were overdue for a big one, but we didn't really think it would happen to us. We were only going to be there for 2 years. One of the things they tell you is never run down the stairs. Don't know if you've ever heard that. In an earthquake, you never run down the stairs. When they told us, I forgot. I guess I wasn't paying attention. Somebody reminded me later, but when they told me, honestly, I didn't think much of the advice. I figured I'd rather run down the stairs and go outside. I thought that sounded safer. But I didn't really think about it. Well, thankfully for me, when the big one came, I was outside. And I say thankfully because all the people that I personally knew who were injured got their injuries trying to go down the stairs and falling instead. And I can believe it. I tried to run 10 meters across perfectly flat ground during the shaking, and I nearly fell over. You just can't trust the ground to be where you think it should be. And after that, in the weeks that followed, there were lots of big aftershocks. Hundreds, probably. But you can bet your life I didn't go anywhere near the stairs. See, when we first did the earthquake training in 2013, the message just bounced off me. Why? Because I didn't see any value in it. But after the big one, I learned by personal experience that potentially it's life-saving advice. So I took the message in and I lived by it. See, we've thought through all these different types of soils, but in the end, the question is not, are you being choked by the deceitfulness of wealth? Important though that is. The question is, do you have your eyes on Jesus? Do you have something even more important, even more valuable? Where are your roots? If you want to stand firm under persecution, you need roots in Jesus. If you want to transcend the worries and pleasures of life, you need to base your life on Him. If you want your life to overflow to the glory of God and bear a fruitful crop, you need a clear vision of Jesus as more valuable than anything else. I struggle to really think, what's the application of all this? Really, it's know Jesus better. But going through all that Jesus is, the benefits of his gospel, the richness of life with him, that would easily fill another whole series worth of sermons. So in one way, I want to leave that with you. And this morning, I just want to make one simple suggestion. We're nearly at the end of our short series on the Gospel of Mark here, but I want to encourage you to read along with that bookmark that we have. If you don't have one, there are still more up the back with daily readings on it. And if you haven't started yet, that doesn't matter. Just start tomorrow. You can use the method written on the front or some other way, but I invite you to read it. Read it all and really read it afresh. Go through the life of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. Find 10 minutes a day to sit with it. Remember what brought you to him in the first place. Really see him again, the crazy, unexpected, countercultural servant king. Let him fill the center of your life. See, it's such a simple story, but it's deeply profound. If you want to grow tall and strong, if you want to live a life that overflows to the glory of God, you need deep roots in good soil. If you want a life of real flourishing, you need to base it on Jesus. And so that's my prayer for me, for all of us. When trouble comes, when the thorns of life crowd around us, that will never stop us from glorifying God, because our lives have Jesus right at the center. Where are your roots? What keeps you grounded? Make it Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your love for us. Thanks for the way that you made us and you came to earth as one of us to save us. Lord, give us such a clear vision of you, your love for us and all that you mean to us, that it guides us, that it roots us deeply in you, that we can live lives that overflow to your glory. Amen.